Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Coming up this hour,
lawmakers on Capitol Hill move forward with Donald Trump's impeachment trial.
Mitch McConnell agrees to a power-sharing deal in the Senate.
President Biden continues his push for a stimulus deal as the timeline for a plan moves to March.
And Janet Yellen wins historic confirmation to become Treasury Secretary.
Governor Cuomo says New York can ease COVID rules as the holiday spike ends. Plus, thousands of National Guard troops will stay in D.C. through mid-March. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets again beat the Heat, and in a rare occurrence, a trade between the Yankees and Red Sox.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And futures are moving lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 8 points this morning. Dow futures down 26. NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.04%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in D.C., where senators will be sworn in today as jurors in Donald Trump's impeachment trial. That's after a House delegation delivered the article to the chamber last night. The current timeline calls for a trial to begin in 2 weeks. Bloomberg's Laura Davison explains why.
Republican leader Mitch McConnell said he wanted to give Trump some time to prepare a legal defense and assemble a legal team. Meanwhile, Democrats looked at the calendar and said, look, we really actually want to give Joe Biden some time to start to move on his agenda, to get his cabinet members approved and also start looking at an economic stimulus plan.
And as former President Trump awaits the start of the trial, he's opened an office in Florida to, quote, advance the interests of the United States and to carry on the agenda. That announcement came less than an hour before lawmakers transferred the article of impeachment.
As the Senate prepares for a flood of confirmation hearings and that impeachment trial, GOP and Democratic leaders have reached a deal. Republican leader Mitch McConnell has agreed to a power-sharing arrangement, allowing Democrats to take control of key Senate committees. Amy Morris has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
McConnell backed off a key demand, the filibuster, which was holding up a deal on power sharing in the Senate. He wanted a pledge from the Democrats that they would not eliminate the filibuster, which allows the minority party to block legislation. While the Democrats did not agree, McConnell says he did get assurances from Senators Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, which were enough. McConnell says the Senate's last power sharing agreement in 2001 included the filibuster, and he believes the current deal will be modeled on that precedent. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. Negotiations over President Biden's stimulus package are still front and center. The president says he is willing to negotiate on the $1.9 trillion measure, but he's not ruling out a move to bypass Republicans.
I think there is a growing consensus. Whether we get it all done exactly the way I want it remains to be seen. But I'm confident that we can work our way through.
Republicans take issue with the price of the bill after spending $900 billion on last month's relief. We spoke with Republican Representative Brian Stile of Wisconsin.
That's a big price tag that the Biden administration has put on the table out of the gates. I think what we're going to need to do is look and say, how can we tailor that to help people who've been negatively impacted through coronavirus through no fault of their own without providing broad brushstrokes of relief that just burden taxpayers in the long run.
Congressman Stile was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio. When it comes to a timeline for stimulus, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to pass a measure by mid-March when jobless benefits from the last bill run out.
Meantime, Janet Yellen has won Senate approval to become Treasury Secretary as the Biden administration faces that uphill battle in stimulus talks. And Bloomberg's Karen Chase has more on the confirmation.
The Senate vote was overwhelming, 84-15, to approve Yellen, the first woman to become Treasury Secretary and a key backer of President Biden's economic stimulus plan. During her confirmation hearings, she urged senators to move swiftly on a bold package, saying the smartest thing we can do is act big. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. Now, when it comes to the pandemic, more states are easing restrictions, even as deadly mutations emerge. Let's get an update now in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Nathan, California Governor Gavin Newsom is lifting that state stay-at-home order. New York, Illinois, Michigan, and Massachusetts also are easing restrictions. New infections and hospitalizations are declining, but we're not out of the woods yet. New variants of the virus are setting off alarms. There's a mutation in the UK, another in California, and a Brazilian one first identified in the U.S. yesterday in Minnesota. Critics say we'll go backwards by easing restrictions. On the vaccine front, meantime, President Biden anticipates shots will be available to everyone by the spring. So far, the U.S. has given 23.5 million shots. You can get more on the effort from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to international relations now, the Biden administration said it will use a, quote, patient approach with China. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the president will enlist allies, will take a multilateral approach to take on Beijing.
We're going to have consultations with our allies. We're going to have consultations with Democrats and Republicans, and we're going to allow the interagency process to work its way through to review and assess how we should move forward with our relationship.
The Biden administration plans a review of measures, including trade tariffs and the delisting of certain Chinese companies put in place by President Trump. The signal of patience comes as tension brews between the two countries over relations with Taiwan.
Turning to Wall Street now, earnings are in focus as we get results from nearly 30 companies in the S&P 500. Microsoft headlines the list. It's set to report after the close of U.S. trading. We get more from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
With many people still working and learning remotely, consumer software and hardware products are expected to push Microsoft's fiscal second quarter sales up 9% versus a year ago. Bloomberg Intelligence says commercial PCs and Microsoft's on-premise offerings may be under pressure, showing only modest improvements. It also faces tough comparisons in commercial cloud bookings following last year's 30% growth. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And a programming note, tune in later today for an interview with Phil Murphy. The New Jersey governor sits down for a conversation with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power, coming up at noon Wall Street time. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Now let's bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York is in a better place after the post-holiday spike in COVID-19 and can begin to loosen restrictions and increase economic activity. Cuomo says elective surgeries can resume in Erie County and more adjustments will be made over the next couple of days. Cuomo also says, though, residents need to get on with life. Be smart.
Don't get cocky with COVID. This virus has been ahead of us every step of the way. You know there are certain things to do that are smart.
As for indoor dining reopening in New York City, Cuomo says they are not contemplating any changes for now. COVID-19 vaccines are getting tougher to get for many Americans who are eligible. The scarcity is forcing many mega sites to cancel appointments. And some online forums are banning people from signing up. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says about 600,000 vaccines have been administered since mid-December. However,
we have a supply problem. We have a flexibility problem because we can't access second doses that are being held in reserve for weeks ahead and use them now as first doses where there's such intense demand.
De Blasio says he is confident the vaccine supply will increase due to conversations he has had with the Joe Biden team. The threats and concerns about armed protesters returning to the Capitol have prompted federal law enforcement officials to insist that thousands of National Guard troops remain in Washington in the coming weeks. General Daniel Hochenschein thanked the outpouring of support from local restaurants donating food for our heroes.
Over the past week, I've received multiple phone calls from President Biden, members of our congressional delegations, and military service organizations expressing their thanks to the incredible soldiers and airmen who have left their employers and their families to serve their nation.
Troop levels will be drawn down from 7,000 to more than 5,000 and will remain there through mid-March.
A winter weather advisory has been issued for the tri-state area. New York City is forecast to get about 1 to 3 inches of snow starting later this morning. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stenshire.
Good morning, Nathan. Game number 3 with the big 3 after they all lost in Cleveland. Now back-to-back home wins over Miami when the Nets had Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden all playing together. This one was 98-85 over the struggling Heat, who really missed Jimmy Butler. They've now lost 6 of the last 8. Durant shot only 6 of 21. Kyrie was 6 of 17, but the Nets pulled away in the fourth quarter, outscoring Miami 28-14. The Knicks finished the road trip tonight in Utah. That won't be easy since the Jazz lost to the Knicks. They've won 8 in a row. A trade between the Yankees and Red Sox, not quite as big as the one more than a century ago that involved Babe Ruth. This one involved reliever Adam Ottavino, whose ERA in 2019 was under 2, but this past season was nearly 6. Red Sox will send the Yanks a player later. It's only the 5th Yankee-Red Sox trade in the last 50 years. The baseball players rejected MLB's plan to continue using the DH of the National League and expanding the playoffs. Both were used in the shortened season. It's believed both ideas could still be revisited at some point during 2021, which is supposed to have spring training begin as usual next month, but COVID cases very high right now in Arizona, and the Cactus League has urged MLB to put off the start of spring training. Start of preparation for Super Bowl 55, and Kansas City coach Andy Reid asked about Tom Brady.
He's playing at an extremely high level, and for somebody his age, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable for a 25-year-old to be doing what he's doing, let alone a 43-year-old.
This will be a different Super Bowl. Tampa Bay playing at home, and the Chiefs won't arrive until the day before the game. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, Citigroup is going to continue sponsoring pro golfer Justin Thomas. He faced a backlash earlier this month after uttering a homophobic slur during a tournament in Hawaii. Citi says it considered terminating the relationship, but instead decided to use Thomas's platform to increase awareness of discrimination against the LGBTQ community. Right now, S&P futures are lower by almost 7 points. Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures on the decline by 38 points. 10-year yield 1.04%. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at SEIC.com/IMS. Global stocks are mixed as M&A deals give a boost to Europe, while worries about new virus variants and hurdles to the Biden administration's stimulus proposal fan a risk-off mood in the U.S. and Asia. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 6 points, Dow futures down 11, NASDAQ futures down 36. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.04%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 34 cents at $53.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2.50 at $18.56.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2133 against the dollar, British pound 1.3656, and the yen is at 103.78. And we are watching for earnings today from companies including Microsoft and GE. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A delegation of House Democrats poised to become prosecutors made the ceremonial march across the Capitol last night to deliver a single article of impeachment to the Senate against former President Donald Trump. Trump is the first U.S. president to have been impeached twice and will be the first to be tried after leaving office. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is backing off his demand that Senate Democrats preserve the procedural tool known as the filibuster. In its current form, the rule requires a 60-vote threshold to advance most legislation. McConnell said late last night he has essentially accomplished his goal after two Democratic senators said they would not agree to the rules change. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Warriors all won.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and with so much going on in Washington right now, as Michael Barr alluded to, we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, as we take a look at what potential impact this second impeachment trial against former President Trump could have on policy going forward. Good morning, Greg. So we've had the article walked over now, and the trial is officially underway, but it's not really actually underway because it's not going to start for another 2 weeks. So what's the real impact here?
Well, good morning, Nathan. I really think this is a miscalculation by the Democrats. I mean, there's plenty of things to bog Trump down for the next couple of years, legal action in Georgia, maybe in D.C., maybe in the Southern District of New York. But this impeachment trial is doomed to fail. It's going to gobble up time that is necessary to pass legislation. And most ironically, it could give Trump the spotlight that he craves. It could actually be a plus for him.
Is it actually going to bog down time, though? And I ask that because I think the argument from the Democrats is going to be, well, we're delaying the trial here for a couple weeks so we can get some of these other agenda items like cabinet confirmations and perhaps at least some negotiation around a stimulus done.
Fair point. And last night we got a big confirmation, Janet Yellen, who will be great. But I also think that this will detract from getting a COVID bill done, a stimulus bill. I'm beginning to think it could be late March before we get a COVID bill.
Yeah, that's something that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer alluded to as well. How do you see the progress of the impeachment trial affecting stimulus negotiations? Will it have a direct impact?
Well, certainly indirect, because so much focus will be paid to it. And there's going to be some gripping testimony from people who will say that they were inspired by Trump's words. There'll be a lot of video evidence of the horrible rioting and ransacking of the Capitol. So it will be a dynamic story. But I think in light of the variant and still gloomy news on the availability of vaccines, that COVID should be the main focus, and a COVID aid bill, I think, now is going to languish.
And it does seem as though that's what President Biden wants as well. He's really put his focus on at least beginning negotiations around his $1.9 trillion stimulus. He says he's open to negotiations. How do you see those negotiations playing out potentially?
Well, we had a very big story yesterday, kind of in the weeds, but it was on the filibuster. And it now looks as if the filibuster rule will stay and that it's going to be tougher to get a bipartisan compromise. I think that what the Democrats will have to do is something also deep in the weeds, and that's budget reconciliation. It's a mouthful, but it means that they probably can get a bill with only 51 votes. So we will get a stimulus, but I think in order to get it, they're going to have to come down from $1.9 trillion. I think that's probably too much money.
So do you see certain aspects of the proposal that President Biden has put forward falling by the wayside? Can you be specific about some of them?
Sure, Nathan. I think the minimum wage proposal is an issue more for the states than the federal government. I think $400 billion for state and local governments is too rich. And I think there's also a feeling that just sending checks out to people could benefit families that are pretty well off, that haven't lost their job. So this bill is going to have to be renegotiated. And having an impeachment fight in the middle of it, I think, is a distraction.
In our last minute here, Greg, I want to go back to a point you made about impeachment potentially bringing attention back to former President Trump. It seems as though he's already trying to grab some of that attention now with this announcement that he's creating an office of the former president. I'd really be curious to get your take on what the former president is doing with that announcement.
Well, he still has plans to control the party in the 2022 elections and maybe run again in 2024. But what his allies are doing is going to Republicans and saying, if you vote against us in impeachment, you're going to get one hell of a fight for your next nomination. So the primaries are crucial, and I think that Trump will continue to be a dominant player.
As I said, lots going on in Washington this morning, and thank you again for providing your insights on all of it for us this morning. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, with us on this Tuesday morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Looking ahead to the market open, slight losses for futures contracts at the moment. S&P futures are down almost 6 points. Dow futures down 14. NASDAQ futures lower by 38 points. Still seeing European shares on the rise this morning. 10-year treasuries down 4/32. The yield 1.04% on the benchmark 10-year note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm offering industry expertise and innovative solutions for your business. Experience the Withum way. Innovative, adaptive, effective, trusted. Visit Withum.com for more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. senators will be sworn in today as jurors in Donald Trump's impeachment trial. That's after a House delegation delivered the article to the chamber last night. The current timeline calls for a trial to start in 2 weeks and threatens to slow other moves in the Senate. We get more from Bloomberg's Laura Davison.
During the impeachment trial, the senators have to physically be there on the Senate floor listening to the arguments. So that means there can't be hearings. There can't be meetings going on. Secondly, this is likely to really inflame some partisan tensions here. You have a lot of Republicans saying that this is pointless, where Democrats really need Republicans to work with them on the stimulus bill.
As former President Trump awaits the start of the trial, he's opened an office in Florida to, quote, advance the interests of the United States and to carry on the agenda. The announcement came less than an hour before lawmakers transferred the article of impeachment.
Negotiations over President Biden's stimulus package remain front and center. The president says he is willing to negotiate on the $1.9 trillion measure, but he's not ruling out a move to bypass Republicans.
Time is of the essence. And I must tell you, I'm reluctant to cherry pick and take out one or two items here and then have to go through it again.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is aiming to pass a stimulus measure by mid-March. That's when jobless benefits from the last bill run out.
Meantime, GOP leader Mitch McConnell has agreed to a power-sharing deal in the Senate. The agreement allows Democrats to take control of key committees after McConnell backed off a demand to keep the filibuster. McConnell says he received assurances from two Democratic senators, and that was enough.
Turning to the pandemic now, we're seeing more states relax virus restrictions, but there are worries it may be too soon. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. John?
And Nathan, California, New York, Massachusetts, and other states are loosening COVID restrictions just as scientists warn that more contagious variants of the virus are beginning to take hold. While new cases and hospitalizations are declining, the new variants may be more transmissible. Well, separately, President Joe Biden says he anticipates that vaccines will be available to everyone in the nation by spring. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.04%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 23 cents at $53 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.60 at $18.55.40 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York has seen signs of a possible turnaround in the fight against COVID. Statewide, hospitalizations are flattening. The number of new infections has dropped steadily over the past 2 weeks. Governor Andrew Cuomo says he is lifting a ban on elective surgeries at some hospitals in western New York. He said he plans to announce other changes soon to the state's COVID-19 restrictions in several parts of the state.
This is unsustainable, this situation that we're in. It was never a choice between public health and reopening the economy. You have to do both, but you have to do it intelligently.
As for indoor dining reopening in New York City, Cuomo says they are not contemplating any changes for now. The scarcity of COVID-19 vaccines has forced several mega sites to cancel appointments. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says about 600,000 vaccines have been administered since mid-December, but the city has the capacity to administer close to that same amount per day.
We're not going to be able to soar until we get more supply and more flexibility. When we get that, in the month of February, we'll be at a 500,000 a week rate.
De Blasio also says the city needs the option to administer the doses that are being withheld for second shots, so that more people can get inoculated. Thousands of National Guard members are going to remain in D.C. Acting Army Secretary John Whitley says troop levels will be whittled down from currently 15,000.
As we continue to work to meet post-inauguration requirements, the National Guard has been requested to continue supporting federal law enforcement agencies with about 7,000 personnel for the coming weeks.
Whitley says by next week, troop levels will then be drawn down to more than 5,000 in Washington, at least through mid-March. It was about 25,000 at its peak in the days following the January 6th Capitol riots. The Supreme Court says it won't take up the case of former Democratic New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who is serving a 6.5-year prison sentence after being convicted in a corruption case. Silver's original conviction was overturned on appeal, but Silver was convicted again in 2018. More federal aid for mass transit is likely to flow into the New York City region. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer told public transportation advocates mass transit systems are poised to benefit from Democratic control of Congress and the Biden administration, and that includes unlocking $12 billion to build a new rail tunnel linking New York and New Jersey through the Hudson River. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Almost 5:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Nathan, the Miami Heat won the East last season. The Nets with hopes of winning it this year. Two teams just played two games in Brooklyn. Nets won them both. Last night, 98-85, on a night where Kevin Durant shot only 6 of 21. He still had 20 points, 13 rebounds. The Heat this season, just 6-10. Upset in the East, Detroit beat Philadelphia, who gave its star center Joel Embiid the night off. The Lakers are now 10-0 on the road. They won in Cleveland. LeBron James back home. He scored 46 points. 21 in the fourth quarter. The NBA dealing with COVID, two games postponed last night, now 22 on the season. San Antonio and New Orleans canceled just 2 hours before tip-off. Neither team had the necessary eight players available. Clippers play tonight. They'll be without their two stars, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, both due to COVID protocol. And yet the NBA wants to have an all-star game early March in Atlanta. It would be scaled back from what it usually is. Tom Brady Sr. revealed to ESPN that both he and his wife, both 76, both had COVID, that he was hospitalized for 3 weeks, and that weighed heavily on their son, who's getting ready for his 10th Super Bowl. Tampa Bay coach Bruce Arians gets to play it at home.
The big advantage is, we stay in our own beds and sleep here and just do our normal routines. Nothing's out of the ordinary until we hit the media sessions next week. But everything else, just to be able to stay in your routine, sleep in your bed, and all that stuff I think it's a huge advantage.
Except that the Chiefs are also going to stay home until the day before the game. A rare Yankees-Red Sox trade as the Yanks try to get under the luxury tax level. Reliever Adam Ottavino, only Yank to ever wear number zero, dealt to Boston. The 2022 PGA Championship, taken away from the Trump Course in New Jersey, will instead be played in Tulsa. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey have been told to pay developers $105 million because of losses incurred during construction of the replacement Gothels Bridge connecting New Jersey and Staten Island. The agency plans to challenge the decision, which was imposed by a third-party arbitration board. Senior care providers who receive money from the state of New York could be required to complete cultural competency training if a proposed bill passes. It aims to help providers understand LGBTQ topics and eliminate discrimination that LGBTQ people fear when finding care or housing. The Connecticut Restaurant Association is extending a lifeline to struggling businesses. The organization's creating a grant program for the hardest-hit restaurants across the state. It says COVID-19 has resulted in thousands of layoffs and over 600 restaurants closing their doors in Connecticut. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Delta will return 400 pilots to full flying status by the summer.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that McDonald's is bringing back a spicy fan favorite.
I'm Roger Herring on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on new unemployment figures showing the impact of the pandemic.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're looking at quarterly results from American Express and Verizon Communications.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Google won't make contributions to any Congress member who voted against certifying the election results.
Now, those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're continuing to watch is the wild swings going on in GameStop stock. The company's remarkable surge has seen shares nearly double since Friday. That's left investor Ryan Cohen sitting on an eightfold profit. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Cohen is a Chewy, Inc. co-founder. He disclosed an investment in GameStop back in August. By December, he'd bought 9 million shares in the retailer for a total cost of $76 million. Earlier this month, GameStop announced that he and two other former Chewy colleagues would be joining the board, triggering a jump in the company's share price. Cohen's 13% stake was valued at $691 million as GameStop shares closed at a record $76.79 in volatile trading after spiking as high as $159 earlier in the session. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Charlie, thank you. And the wild ride for GameStop looks set to continue this morning. Right now, shares are up another 16% in early trading. S&P futures are down 8 points. Dow futures down 25. NASDAQ futures lower by 42 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are mixed as M&A deals give a boost to Europe while worries about new virus variants and hurdles to the Biden administration's stimulus proposal fan a risk-off mood in the U.S. and Asia. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 10 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.04%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 15 cents at $52.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.70 at $18.54.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2127 against the dollar. British pound 1.3649 and the yen 103.81. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House impeachment case against Donald Trump has been delivered to the Senate for his upcoming trial. House Democratic prosecutors made the ceremonial walk across the Capitol late last night to deliver the charge of incitement of insurrection. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell said he's dropping a key demand and is ready to move toward a power-sharing agreement after two Democratic senators pledged they won't vote to do away with the filibuster. Twitter permanently banned MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell after persistently tweeting unproven claims Donald Trump was the real winner of the presidential race. In the NBA, the Nets, Celtics, and Warriors all won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street now. We're joined by Sam Fazzelli, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst, now to get more on some of the latest developments around coronavirus vaccines, particularly with these new, faster-spreading variants moving around the world. Sam, we had the CEO of Moderna on Bloomberg Radio and Television, of course, yesterday. He's sounding confident about his company's vaccine when it comes to two of these variants, but the South African strain is the one that may need more work?
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. So I think what they've shown is obviously very positive. They've shown that people who were previously vaccinated with the Moderna vaccine, and I'm pretty sure we'll get the same out of Pfizer-BioNTech, raised an immune response that was capable of killing the, or not killing, but stopping the virus, the new variant, both the UK and the South Africa variants, from infecting cells. The issue is that the effectiveness on the South African variant was reduced by about sixfold. Now, in the world of antibodies and the level of activity that this vaccine has induced, that should not impact its efficacy in people. So that's what we've heard. But what we don't know, Nathan, is whether, in fact, levels of antibodies are correlated, or the way that we can say, antibody is X, efficacy would be Y. That we don't know.
Okay, so when we have these variants that are shown to infect people more easily than some of the more predominant variants that we've had in the earlier parts of this pandemic, what does that mean when it comes to vaccine development? Obviously, these companies are in a race to scale up vaccine manufacture. How do they sort of catch up with these faster spreading variants?
Yeah, so we do that, Nathan, every year with the flu virus. Not that the virus every year with flu becomes faster or slower or anything like that. But we do new versions of the flu vaccine every year. So here what we've got is a situation where we need to go and develop a new variant of these, a new version of the vaccine over a certain period of time. I'm not even sure that this variant is one that requires it. We'll have to see that still. But it is doable, and the mRNA vaccines are specifically are much better at being adaptable for that, at least theoretically. The difference, of Nathan, with flu vaccinations is that flu vaccinations tend to go into the arms of certain groups of people. Here, we're going to have to do this across the board, like the 6 billion, 7 billion doses that are required every year. So that's a pretty hefty requirement, and that would be the challenge that I think the world has to manage.
Yeah, and in our last minute here, Sam, we've heard that challenge sort of encapsulated by the head of the World Health Organization saying that, if we don't get vaccine to some developing countries more quickly, then it's not going to get the pandemic under control because the virus is going to keep spreading. So what's the challenge, in your view, as we move forward here?
Yeah, that is it. Because what he's underlying in what he's saying is that as the virus spreads and continues to multiply in us, the human beings that it so likes, it gets the opportunity to mutate and develop new versions and variants. So by not having the world covered, which is going to be quite an achievement, we give it an opportunity to continue to develop versions that we may have to continue to develop vaccines for.
Sam Fazeli, always great getting your insights. Thank you so much for being with us. Sam Fazeli is Senior Pharmaceutical Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. You can continue to track the vaccine inoculation effort around the world through the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It's online at Bloomberg.com. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It is time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Senate President pro tempore Patrick Leahy will preside over the second impeachment trial of former President Trump. Chief Justice John Roberts will not preside since Mr. Trump is no longer president. The Biden administration named National Labor Relations Board attorney Peter Sung Orr as the agency's acting general counsel. Colorado is the second state to solicit vendors to help it get access to lower-priced prescription drugs from Canada.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Another legal story we're watching this morning, Texas becoming the first state to sue the Biden administration. The Lone Star State says the government's temporary halt to deportations of undocumented immigrants violates an agreement it reached in the last 2 weeks of the Trump administration. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Rick Sue, a professor at the University of North Carolina Law School.
The Texas AG claims the Department of Homeland Security agreed to consult with Texas before making any changes to deportation regulations. How unusual would that be?
So this is very unusual. Not only this idea that the federal government would delegate, right, this sort of obligation to both consult with a particular state or even a particular locality, but also even the obligation that in this particular agreement that they would hold off in making any decisions for 6 months. They would have to announce it, wait 6 months, and get consultation. Clearly, this is a last-minute sort of effort by the Trump administration to try to hamstring any policy changes by the Biden administration. And in this case, they're doing it through this agreement, through contract, not even through a policy or a statute. Personally, I don't see how this agreement that Texas is suing on would be enforceable, but it certainly sets up the general framework, which is the kind of politics that we're going to see around immigration and other issues going forward, which is state attorney generals and Republican states sort of taking up the mantle to challenge the federal government.
So the Justice Department lawyer said Texas is asking to run federal immigration law. Is that the basic argument that the Justice Department is going to put forward here, or are there other arguments?
Yeah, there's lots of arguments for why this agreement, this contract, this last-minute contract that was signed by the outgoing Department of Homeland Security is not enforceable. But I think the Justice Department is right in this sort of broader case. All these arguments sort of circle around the idea that the federal government cannot delegate or relinquish, you know, some sovereign power over policy, either the executive in terms of their discretion or even the whole federal government in terms of making policy to a state.
Ken Cuccinelli signed this as senior official performing duties of deputy secretary. And so did he have legal authority to even sign it, or is it a violation of the Federal Vacancies Reform Act?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And of course, there's been other litigation about actions taken by Cuccinelli on the basis that he does not actually have the power to hold that office or to bind the department. So that does raise another issue. And I would think that, you know, even on top of that, to enter into the agreement to make this particular policy, this reminds me of the DACA reversal that the Supreme Court also reversed recently, right? So not only is it, does Cuccinelli have the power, but is the process that he went through also problematic? It makes sense as a last minute bomb, I think, sort of left for the Biden administration. But from a legal matter, this is not how we usually imagine agencies operating.
And that's University of North Carolina law professor Rick Sue speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures moving lower this morning. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany's up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. Yield 1.04%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 25 cents at $53.02 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 1/3%. And our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.